The fallout from data breaches at Atlanta-based Equifax stretches far and wide. At the end of July, the credit rating company learned it had been hacked, exposing more than 140 million people, 140 million people to possible ID theft. But we didn't find out about the hack until this month, and at that time we learned of an earlier Equifax hack. Now the company faces lawsuits, investigations, and a massive drop in its stock price. So what's going on here? Let's bring in Tamar Hallerman from Capitol Hill. She's covering the story for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Tamar, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And Trey Kaysen is here, and he is with the consumer advocacy group Georgia Watch. He is here to help us understand how we can better protect our information. Trey, good morning.
Good morning.
And Trey, let me start with you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here. Look, I think I'm trying to understand the dimensions, first of all, of this hack of Equifax. We know that the Yahoo breach was huge. How does that compare? Talk about the dimensions of the Equifax hack and what information is now out there.
Sure, yeah. So while the Yahoo hack was very wide, this hack is very wide and very deep. So hackers were able to gain information to your name, your birthday, social security numbers, current address, all prior addresses.
Oh, wow.
Even for a number of people, their driver's license and their credit card numbers.
Wow. Tamar, look, walk us through the timeline of this hack. Our understanding is that the hack happened in, well, it may have started in May, but Equifax found out about it in July?
Yeah, something like that. And we didn't hear about it till about 2 weeks ago. And the fallout has been pretty immense here on Capitol Hill, for sure. A lot of people launching investigations in federal agencies, state attorneys general, on Capitol Hill in different committees. This is something that's going to be around for a very long time.
Okay, so give me, Tamar, give me an idea of the kinds of questions. You know, the questions at this point are just as important as the answers. And we may not be satisfied with the answers, ultimately. But give me an idea of what it is that these agencies, congressional bodies are looking for. What questions do you have as a reporter?
Sure. So right now, my understanding is that, you know, the investigation, at least the one that Georgia's attorney general is looking at, they're looking at civil, you know, looking at this as kind of a civil case, not as a criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most interesting parts of this for me is that, you know, the news came out about a week ago that some of Equifax's top executives had sold stock in the company after they had heard about the breach, but before it went public. So there's questions about that. There's questions about, you know, how long it took until Equifax figured out that they'd been hacked, why it took them so long to alert people, who did this, where were their vulnerabilities in the system. And there's also a much larger debate that's to be had in the corridors of Capitol Hill about what should be done. Should Congress pass some sort of federal cybersecurity
yes.
law saying, you know, you need to put these safeguards in place ahead of time for your security systems.
And Tamar, the actions of the executives, that's really interesting territory, it seems to me, because it does get to this timeline, right? When did those executives learn of the hack and their actions after they learned of it? And then the question of, did Equifax follow kind of the rules? I guess there are rules for disclosing what happened here. And did they follow those rules in a timely way? What's our understanding of that kind of a timeline?
Sure. And that's the thing is we really don't have a great sense yet of how long it took them to kind
yeah.
of figure it out and why it took so long for them to alert consumers. What was interesting to me as I've started reporting this over the last week or two is that there are not a ton of laws in place, even when it comes to after the fact, after you've been hacked, the rules for telling your customers that they've been part of a breach.
Yeah.
There's no federal law saying you have to say within 30 days or you need to alert your customers when X, Y, and Z happen. There are some laws on the state level that you know that govern that. But in Georgia, there's no, my understanding, and Trey can tell me if I'm wrong, is that there's no exact timeline for when they have to alert consumers in the state.
What do you know about that, Trey?
Right. And so that is actually one of the spaces that we would like to see action on the legislative side. We would love to see something, some type of rule that would mandate whenever there's a large breach of information, whatever the industry, that there would be a reasonable timeline where they would have to inform the affected consumers and or the public in general.
Right, right. Is it true that there is no federal law regarding consumer protections that sort of lays out what those agencies should actually be doing to protect our data?
Sure. So so there have been calls, some Georgia representatives that are calling for these credit reporting agencies to be held to the highest standard of data protection. So I think,
and what does that look like? What does the highest standard even look
like?
Sure.
So right now it seems that the industry operates on best practices. So just comparing themselves to one another.
Right, right, right. So I'm also curious to understand, is it odd to you, Trey, that Georgia lawmakers are essentially kicking around legislation? I don't know if any's been passed at this point, but certainly kicking around legislation to shield credit reporting agencies, essentially placing caps on claims?
Right. Yeah. So they would actually deny that claim. That was the intention of the legislation.
Yeah, sure,
so,
they would. Yeah.
Right. So Georgia Representative Barry Loudermilk actually recently introduced legislation that would cap damages from class action lawsuits at $500,000. Any lawsuit that was brought against a credit reporting agency. It would also eliminate punitive damages.
Mm-hmm.
And so Georgia Watch, in accordance or along with the National Association of Consumer Advocates, wrote Barry Loudermilk asking him to withdraw this legislation. He responded in the form of a press release saying that this mischaracterizes the intent of his legislation, and they have not withdrawn it.
Yeah. Trey, give us a sense. I mean, I think the other piece of this, and I'm trying to figure out just how outraged I should be. To what extent Equifax has done the right thing by its clients, its consumers.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out now that we're in this space, what do I need to do to sort of better protect myself and my information?
Yeah, so there's a few things that we would advise all consumers across the country and in the state of Georgia to do to protect themselves. The first thing is that they can go to EquifaxSecurity2017.com and put in their information and find out whether or not their information was part of the breach. Mm-hmm. And so from there, they'll be able to sign up for something called Trusted ID, which Equifax puts forth kind of as their protection product.
Yeah.
So initially, they got into some trouble because that product, when you signed up for it, you signed a mandatory arbitration clause, which would waive your right to take legal action against them in the form
of... And they were called out for that, weren't they?
They were, and so they removed that. They also got into a little bit of trouble because they were asking for your credit card number, because after the free year expires, they would sign you up for another year. This year, you'd be paying for.
Mm-hmm.
So now all that's cleared up, and we would say that the credit monitoring software is good. Sign up for that. The next thing we would say is everyone needs to take a credit freeze. Sign up for a credit freeze with all three of the major reporting agencies. And what that's going to do—
Because this can happen with other agencies as well, right?
Absolutely, right. So so we would say put a credit freeze on. That would be the number one line of defense for
and
everyone.
And do that now.
Do
that
it
now.
Oh, yeah. Do it yesterday. And so that's going to be $3 in the state of Georgia. It's free for seniors. Equifax is actually waiving the fee right now. And parents can sign up their children. So anyone under 16 can be signed up by a parent. And what that's going to do is it's just going to lock your credit report down. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make it difficult for anybody to take out a new line of credit. And that's going to protect you from
Is the fee just for locking it down, or is there another fee to thaw that information?
Right. So there would be a fee to thaw the information if, in case you wanted to, let's say, get a car loan, you know, down the line. So
well, doggone it, it's not a lot of money, but I mean, it's still coming out of my pocket.
Sure.
And it's because these agencies seemingly have not figured out a way to protect our data.
Right. So we would say that the onus is on them. Right. The onus is on them to make sure that this information is correct. So actually, one of the pieces of legislation that we would like to see passed is that all credit freezes would be free or cheap across the country.
Free. Yeah, we like the idea.
Right.
One thing that we've seen on Capitol Hill over the last week or so. A lot of lawmakers have mentioned, hey, I'm going to craft a legislative response to this hack. But one of the ones we have seen from some Senate Democrats, including Elizabeth Warren, is a bill that would give free credit freezes to people. So haven't heard anything from leaders about whether this is something they'd consider, but there certainly is a ton of outrage, and perhaps it is possible.
Okay, so yeah, I guess I'm sitting here trying to gauge what level of outrage is appropriate here. And part of that answer, it seems to me, is tied to, you know, a realization of the space that we live in terms of cybersecurity, internet security. Tamar, and then Trey. Tamar, look, in reporting this story in the way that you have, and probably other stories in the space as well, what have you come to understand about this whole idea of privacy when it comes to our information online?
What's been so interesting to me is I know that this is something that in Washington lawmakers have been trying to solve for a long time. And I assume the reason they couldn't do that was because it was a partisan issue, like everything here on Capitol Hill. What I've learned is that it really isn't. There have been plenty of bipartisan proposals that have been floating around on Capitol Hill for the better part of a decade now. What's interesting, though, is all the myriad interests from different business groups and from privacy advocates and states' rights people and bankers and retailers. Everybody has their own set of demands, and you know, it's such a mess of interests that there's nothing these lawmakers can do that will satisfy everybody. So my understanding is that's why it's been so tough to get any sort of privacy protection on Capitol Hill over the last few years.
Yeah, and Trey, you get what I'm driving at here. It's just we have to assume that privacy doesn't exist anymore, does it?
Right. And to piggyback off of what Tamar was saying, if there's a silver lining for this being so broad, is that it does affect everybody across party lines. And so we think that this is a good opportunity to reopen the conversation about internet privacy, you know, personal information, who gets to collect, store, and share this information.
Yes. Trey, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Trey Kaysen is with the consumer advocacy group Georgia Watch. We also heard from Atlanta Journal-Constitution Washington correspondent Tamar Hallerman. Thank you both. Great information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.